proclaiming the gospel throughout the world. Bill Winston Ministries is bringing lost souls to Jesus Christ and teaching them how to walk in a victorious life. We invite you to receive all the blessings that God has for your life. Bill Winston Ministries presents The Believer's Walk of Faith.
Hello, I'm Bill Winston, and welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. We have an exciting teaching for today. We're calling it Manifesting Abundance. Now, this is God's people in this earth actually not having to live on the standard of this earth or this world system. But we can live on the standard of heaven while we're here in this earth. In other words, there can be no lack. We don't have to be in debt. We don't have to be sick. We don't have to be disillusioned or sad or whatever have you. We can have peace and joy and just everything that God has planned for us. We can have it right here on this earth. And I call it manifesting abundance. Now, what we need to learn how to do is how to get that inheritance into this earth while we're still here. You see, a lot of people think that, well, I'm going to get it when I get it on the other side. Well, true, when we get to heaven and get on the other side, we will get some things. But praise God for what Jesus taught. He said, you can have heaven come to earth. Glory to God. He said, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this manifesting abundance is a teaching that teaches us how to manifest God's abundance here in this earth, even in a time of scarcity. This is a powerful teaching. Get your Bibles, pencils and papers ready. Get ready to take some good notes now. Let's go into it. It's called Manifesting Abundance.
When you and I can only evaluate things in terms of our own physical senses, and that's as far as we go into something called trial and error. And you were never made to govern your life or this earth through trial and error. You were expected to know things. And you can know them. And you can know them by the Holy Spirit. And if you look at, I won't turn you there now, but over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you can see that he talks about that. He says that the eye has not seen, natural eye, ear has not heard, natural ear, neither has entered into the heart of man, natural part of us, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Got it? No. I'm only saying that this is where mankind fell. So mankind fell into a place where now trial and error brings in his life, could bring stress, could bring error, meaning that they'll try to do something, or a doctor gives somebody some medicine and it causes all kinds of problems in their life. Somebody's kidney shuts down, somebody, so forth and so on. Now, all of this is trial and error. And God never intended us to live that way. He intended for you to know the answer. So what happened was we went over here and looked at the life of Jesus. And Jesus knew some things. As a matter of fact, when they were about to feed the 5,000, Jesus said, hey, I want you to feed all these people. He said, why don't you feed them? And they said, wait a minute, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient enough for us to take that we can all buy and feed a little to them. And the Bible says Jesus did this to prove them, for he himself knew what he would do. And he knows the answer to every problem. I use the example, George Washington Carver, as he would go into his lab, he called it a God's little workshop at Tuskegee. And notice what he did. The Bible says, writings write that when he goes in there, he said God pulls back the curtain, and all of a sudden he could see what to do. No trial and error. And how about R.G. Letourneau? He was the shipbuilding magnate, and during the war, and all the ships, many of the ships were being sunk from the U.S., they came to him and said, hey, can you build the ships faster? And he tried to do that. But when he took the ships and they were about to complete and he turned them right side up, the rivets would pop. And he fasted, he said, for 4 days. And God showed him how to make a ship a day. He knew. And I'm saying the same thing about you. You can know. And you can know some things. My point is, not knowing brings toil. See, not knowing brings heavy burdens. Not knowing brings hard labor, because I don't know. See, I don't know, but I can know. When we got this building and so forth, God told me what to do. Now, what he told me to do didn't make sense. But I found out later it wasn't supposed to make sense. It was supposed to make faith. And so what I did is I acted on what he said because I knew what he told me. Now, we had sent the lawyers there, and the lawyers came back and said, well, you know, they ain't going to do it. You're going to have to take them to court. I said, well, how long is that going to take? He says, it's going to take good pick up to 6 years. 6 years, I got to be in there tomorrow night, man. What are you talking about, 6 years? So I had to know something, and I had to know it pretty quick. But I knew. Now, my point to you is that we can know some things, but we haven't expected that we can know some things. Many times we've been flowing at the same pace or level as the world. And what we got to do is we got to grow up in the things of God. We've been saved. We've been sanctified. We come into the kingdom. Now act like a kingdom citizen. Because now we can know some things. Say amen to this.
Amen.
All right. Now what happened is that once Eve ate of the apple, gave of the fruit, and then gave... How many of you know the Bible didn't say nothing about apple? Okay, all right. Somebody got me saying that. I haven't heard that so long. All right, but anyway, so what happened? She gave to Adam and he did eat. Now, once he ate, then verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. Okay? And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. All right? Now, notice they were covering or protecting themselves. So now that's where mankind fell to. And they heard a voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called Adam and said to him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Well, who told you you were naked? And God goes into dialogue with him. Now, what happened as a result of that? The curse. Verse 17. And Adam said, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife, and has eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, curse is a ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Verse 19. And the sweat of thy face shall you eat bread. All this is hard toil, heavy labor. Look at verse 20. And Adam called his wife named Eve because she was the mother of all living. Verse 24. So he drove out the man, took him out of the garden. So what we said is Adam now no longer has his provision from God, that now he's going to have to fend for himself. He's going to have to go for his own provision. And Adam also is going to have sorrow and toil trying to get his provision. Now, all that was not a part of Adam's life. See, work was on another level. Work was on another level. That's why Jesus said, they said, how can we do the works of God? He said, believe on him. See? Believe on me. That's the way you can do the works of God. And glory to God. Can I show you this? I need to do this real quick. Look what it says in John chapter 14, verse 10. Believe thou that I am able to, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, what? What? He does the work. See, I'm resting. He gonna do the work. Going down, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall what? He do what? Also, and what? Greater works than these shall he do, because I go where? I'm going to my Father. Now, Jesus said, you're going to do the works that he did. Now, I want you to see how he did work, because he did it on another level. See, the scepter that we have is a scepter of righteousness. See, God has got you in a royal position. And you have got it. He has made it even, glory to God. Can I show you this? Look at Psalm 105. Look at verse 44. Have you got it? And gave them the what? Lands of the heathen, and what else? They inherited the labor of the people. See? And now what he is saying here is that there are other folk going to be laboring for you. Man, y'all need to get this. See, God is going to have you to possess everything that a stranger has. See, this is why he's got to enlarge the borders of your tent. This is why he got to get you ready. Because you're going to have to be able to hold and manage this. Turn to Job. Job chapter 27. And let me know when you get there. I want you to look at verse 17 and 16, please. All right, talking about the heathen now. Listen at this. Though he heap up silver as dust and prepare raiment as clay, he may prepare it, but the just, as you, shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. That's you. That heathen is working for you. Now that's not all. Come on over here with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, please. That's after the book of Proverbs. I'm still coming back to Proverbs chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Let me know when you get there. I know I got you running pretty good. Somebody said, well, nah, I don't know about all that because I'm not saved yet. You better get saved because he's telling you what's going to happen to this, and God's word will not return to him void. Look what it said in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and what? Joy. But to the sinner he giveth what? Travail. To do what? To gather. And to what? Heap up, that he might give to him, keep going, that is good, come on, before God. That's me. They are working for you. I'm saying you're going to work, but it's going to be on another level. Amen. The heathen did all the work, and the children of God got all the benefits. Man, that sounds like a deal to me. Now, see, the first thing you say, oh, you're just going to get lazy. Hey, tell God he's going to get lazy by sitting down. See, he's making you like him. It's going to be work on another level, folks. You're going to have angels as reapers. Jesus taught that. Let's go and look at Proverbs chapter 10. Now, have you got it? Say praise the Lord, somebody. Look at verse 22. The blessing of the Lord. Come on. It what? It what? It maketh rich. And he addeth what? No painful toil. See, what the devil did is Satan connected your job with what you can have. Jesus came and he said, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Because he was going to disconnect your job and what you earn at your job from what you can have. Because he was going to make what you can have your inheritance and make your job your assignment. And what has happened is because people are so mindful of their job and provisions because they don't have enough. Now what it does is it clouds their mind as to what their real assignment is. And many of the gifts and the talents are wasted, and many people are missing God's master plan. That's why they can't wait till they retire, because they're tired of running after provision. But if I can disconnect my job from my provision, and I don't care what kind of job I have, I can still have a corporate jet at Midway, then I'm in good shape. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth what? No painful toil. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You'll find that in Mark chapter 2. And what was the Sabbath? The Sabbath was the time that God, a covenant reminder that God would one day restore back to man through Jesus Christ, the completeness of him resting in God's provision. Now, he did that. Jesus came, and when he came, he turned it back around. So now we're in that Sabbath. Now we're in the rest of God. Now Jesus taught the laws of the kingdom and how we are to operate in those laws to our benefit. And so now these laws are not the our need now. He taught how to fix our need without painful toil, without trial and error. And he taught it through the law of sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest. And what he did was he taught us that the kingdom operates by laws, by laws. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, I know we look at it and we call it a miracle, and that's fine. But if you're looking at it from God's standpoint, it's just the work of God. And so now, as you had to learn laws to fly, as you had to learn laws to get electricity and turn on the light, then now you're learning laws so that your needs can be met independent of what the environment is, the economy is, and what somebody said about you. So now we want to learn how to work the laws, because Jesus was not trying to fix a broke system. He was replacing that system and replacing this labor law of hard labor just to get our needs met. Now you've got a single mother and she got a need, she can sow a seed. Let's just look at something, and let's look at a situation that he had to meet a need, all right? And let's look at feeding the 5,000. Hello? All right. Now, let's go to John chapter 6 first. John chapter 6 and verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy bread that these may eat?" He himself did it to prove him, because he knew what he would do. Philip answered and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. So right away, Philip was 200 penny worth of bread is 8 months' wages. So notice Philip right away connected their provision with how long they could work and how hard the labor was to produce 200 penny worth. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here. He has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what is that among so many?" Somebody say, a seed will meet any need. Now, this is a piece that you've got to see, that this whole idea of sowing a seed is new to the natural mind, because the natural mind is trying to figure out how can this happen. Well, once you plant a seed, let's say for corn, and that corn will grow up and you get a lot of corn, well, you understand that. But the system of the kingdom is working the same way, except the system of the kingdom works on a higher plane, that what you can do is the corn is going to produce what? corn. An apple is going to produce what? An apple. Not so in the kingdom. You can override natural laws. So you can have money seed produce health. Are you following what I'm saying? You can have. So I'm only telling you that. Now, the reason why I'm giving you this is because this is the way you're going to live. You're going to be a sower. Say sower. Sower means I'm mindful of sowing and reaping all the time. In other words, every action, every word, every so forth is either a seed or it's a harvest. And when you get into that framework, you're going to see how Jesus operated, why he would never let anything come out of his mouth that he didn't want to come back. All right, well, praise the Lord. So first of all, the number one is, what do you have? What do you have? Somebody say, I don't have nothing. Well, what do you have? Do you have some faith? Here's a woman in the Old Testament. She had some oil. Come on now. Here's another woman. Here's a man in the New Testament. He had a boat. So what do you have that you can give? What do you have that you can share? This here? This place here? God said, God, how do we get it? He said, sow a seed. He said, sow this much. I said, well, Lord, we're saving up that for the building. He said, do you want the building? I said, yes, sir. Sow it. We sowed it. You in here. All right? Now, you follow what I'm saying now? Okay. Now, when that happens, the devil can't block it. See, he can't limit you because he might limit your paycheck. But when you get paid by the master, you ain't limited in what you can receive. All right? Then the next thing you're going to do is bring it to Jesus. Why bring it to Jesus? Because you got to place it under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the anointing of God. And once it gets under that anointing, it multiplies. Now, in Abram's time, you could grow corn and that'll multiply. But the blessing on your life is allowing you to sow inanimate objects that are material things, and they will multiply, such as money. Money will multiply. Say amen to that. Amen. Then the third thing is release it in faith. Now, this is probably the most important thing. Now, if you don't have any money and you have nothing to give, one of the things that you still have left as a seed is what? Faith. You can sow faith as a seed and name it. And it'll bring you back a harvest. Oh, Lord, y'all didn't go with that, all right? All right, and then the last thing, the fourth thing is, of course, to follow instructions, because the Holy Ghost is going to start giving you instructions as to what to do. Now, these are going to be foolish thoughts, I can tell you right now, but it ain't making sense. It's going to make what? Faith. It's going to make faith, because faith has got to keep moving to bring your harvest back. Are you with me? And then the last thing is receive your harvest. Now, you can see that in John chapter 6, because you said, verse 12, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that what? Nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled how many baskets? They are telling you how many baskets they filled because they want you to know that disciples had no idea that it was that much left. I'm here to tell you that your overflow is hiding. And God hid it on purpose. And you can consult the Holy Ghost as to what to sow and where to sow, and consult the Holy Ghost as to where to gather in your harvest. He will lead you exactly to the right place. Now, once he does, execute it. Praise God. Don't hesitate. Get it right now, because that harvest belongs to
Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoy that teaching. Now, here again, we're talking about how you and I can operate in the systems of this world, but not be of this world. In other words, we can manifest abundance in our lives, even in the midst of scarcity in this world. And that's what happened to Jesus. Remember when he was up on the mountain and all the people were coming to hear his messages? But these people had been following him, I guess, 2 or 3 days. And the disciples wanted to send him away. Jesus said, don't send him away. They haven't had anything to eat. They might faint on the way. He said, feed them. Well, right then they started adding up the little money, trying to figure out how they're going to feed all these people in the middle of nowhere. And then there was a guy, a little lad that came up, and he had 2 fish and 5 loaves. And Jesus took those and multiplied it and fed everybody. Notice, he manifested abundance in the midst of scarcity. It is a powerful teaching. Well, the address and phone number are on your screen. Why don't you order it right away? You see, this manifesting abundance is a teaching that every believer needs to have in their library. It is a powerful teaching. It's called Manifesting Abundance. Well, this is Bill Winston saying we'll see you next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.
Working overtime, working all the time. Will there ever be enough time to fully enjoy the fruits of your labor? Stop chasing after provisions and let the provisions come to you. God has a plan for all your needs to be met in abundance.
Our source is Almighty God. Every need that we'll ever have and need of, God has already, come on, provided.
Manifesting Abundance, Volume 2, is the 5th installment of the Kings and Priests series by Dr. Bill Winston. In this powerful teaching, you'll discover that the provisions you need are available to you right now.
The blessing empowers anything that is seed to multiply.
Order Manifesting Abundance Volume 2 today, and Dr. Winston will explain why you don't have to toil for your provisions any longer, how to properly tie your labor to the Word of God and not to your inheritance, why the blessing that is on your life will manifest abundance wherever you go, and much more.
God, through Christ, through Abraham, gave this whole earth back to you.
To order your copy of Manifesting Abundance Volume 2, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.bwm.org. Before you were born, God already provided everything you would need on this earth. Learn how you can trigger the ability to manifest abundance in your life. Order your copy of Manifesting Abundance Volume 2 today. While in the Chicagoland area, Pastor Winston personally invites you to Living Word Christian Center. We're located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois, just 20 minutes from downtown Chicago. Our Sunday services are at 7, 9, or 11:15 a.m. with a midweek Bible study Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We have Spanish translators and sign language for the hearing impaired. A warm seat awaits you at Living Word Christian Center. For more information, please call 708-697-5000. Today's message is available in its entirety on CD or DVD when you use the product number on your screen by writing to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.bwm.org. Next week on the Believer's Walk of Faith.
Our goal is to depend on God for everything. To not have to depend on the world for anything.